VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. And we have got one packed news roundup program here today. Our thanks to Sandy for pulling together so many stories for us. And folks, sadly to say, I've got more stories than I have minutes on the clock. So we're going to be delving into things in just a moment. But even as we do, we remember what Paul wrote to the Apostle Paul. He said, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away." And indeed, we are seeing this, and he also said later in that same chapter of 2 Timothy chapter 3, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." He exhorts Timothy, though, to continue in the things he has learned and been assured of. And ladies and gentlemen, let me just say this, that as you hear the stories as they come out today, understand that we are living in perilous times, but also make sure that you continue in God's word, continue faithfully in his word to proclaim the word. Preach the word is what Paul told Timothy to do. And so let's be livers of the word as we live out this very life that God has called us to, changed believer in Jesus Christ. Let's take a look here at many of the stories today. As you know, President Biden delivered his first address to a joint session of a very downsized Congress Wednesday. And it was about 200 individuals, all masked. The president fist-bumped senators and representatives on his way to the podium. He delivered his address as Vice President Kamala Harris, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi sat behind him. And he said, 100 days ago, America's house was on fire. We had to act. Well, speaking for just over an hour, Mr. Biden talked about numerous issues on the agenda, but often strayed from the facts on many different issues like voting and tax cuts under President Trump, the Second Amendment, and other issues as well. One of the things that he did do, as Western Journal points out, he is calling for another $1.8 trillion in federal spending for his new American Families Plan, along with tax increases to help pay for it. Now, this is coupled with the $2.3 trillion infrastructure spending plan that he opposed just earlier this month. And he's seeking to spend $4.1 trillion on top of the $1.9 trillion that was in COVID relief bill. I mean, $6 trillion total. The American Families Plan that was unveiled Wednesday includes 2 years of government-subsidized preschool for many families and 2 years of free community college for everybody, including many illegal aliens. Biden wants to continue to expand a child tax credit. And under his plan, also Americans who make more than $400,000 would have tax rates increased from 37% to 39.6%. Also, seeking a paid leave program that after it's in existence for some 10 years, the program would guarantee 12 weeks of a parental, family, and personal illness safe leave and pay workers on leave up to $4,000 a month. $6 trillion, folks. I can't even put my arms around that. CBN News has a story that in the Republican response to President Biden's address to Congress Wednesday night, Senator Tim Scott rejected the president's massive spending proposals that would grow the government, make America more dependent on Washington. He denounced even more taxing, even more spending to put Washington even more in the middle of your life from the cradle to college. Scott said that locking vulnerable kids out of the classroom is locking adults out of their future. Our public schools have been should have been opened months ago. He had many other things to say, but ultimately he pointed to God, giving God praise for America's successes. He said, "I'm standing here because my mom has prayed me through some very tough times. I believe our nation has succeeded the same way because generations of Americans in their own ways have asked for grace, and God has supplied it." Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, who was being targeted by the liberal establishment, gave this one paragraph summary of the speech here this week. He said, unfortunately, President Biden's agenda is massive spending, massive tax increases, open borders, and a tax on energy that will harm our economy and threaten American jobs. He promised to unify and heal America, but has done the exact opposite in his first 100 days. He has declared that America is systemically racist and needs to be fundamentally transformed. He said that type of rhetoric sows division and discord and leads me to ask, can anyone even like, much less love, something that they want to fundamentally transform? While it's not perfect, I believe America is the greatest nation in the history of mankind. We're a nation with problems to fix, not a country that needs a complete overhaul. I wish President Biden shared that belief and would work with those of us who truly love America to address the serious issues we do face. Well, there is somebody celebrating the 100 days of a Biden presidency. That's the Human Rights Campaign, the activist LGBT organization. And they, Alfonso David, the president of HRC, gave a statement in regard to this. I'm going to quote it in part. He said, we are incredibly proud of the work the Biden administration has done to protect and advance the rights of LGBTQ people here in the U.S. and across the world during his first 100 days in office. The Biden administration has made it clear that they will celebrate and will fight for LGBTQ people at every level. He outlined some of the things that the Biden administration has accomplished, including ensuring a comprehensive administrative implementation of Bostock versus Clayton County, in which the Supreme Court determined federal sex non-discrimination laws also prohibited discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity, reversing restrictions on transgender individuals, allowing them to return to an inclusive policy of military service, as HRC, also openly appointing open LGBT individuals to the administration, ending the global gag rule, they say, which barred government aid to any international organization that provided abortion, revoking the Trump administration order that limited diversity training in the federal government, actively working to advance LGBT rights globally, and on they go from HRC, commending the Biden administration for, well, really fulfilling their vision, their agenda for the nation. Also, Center for Immigration Studies says the looking at the Biden 100 days, swift action to change immigration policy. They said the policy changes between administrations have had immediate impact since Inauguration Day, resulting in a crisis at the southern border. Townhall.com reports that prior to his address Wednesday night, President Biden celebrated another milestone. He has used his pen to sign more executive orders than any other president since FDR during his first 100 days in office. I mean, we're talking about killing jobs, you know, stopping the Keystone XL, mandating boys be allowed to play in girl sports, terrorism-ridden states and opening the U.S. up to visitors from terrorism-riddled states, ending construction of the border wall, and many other issues as well. Lord willing, this coming Monday, Brad Mattis will be with us from the Life Issues Institute, and we'll be taking a look at the first 100 days in office as it relates to the life issue. President Biden's being declared the most pro-abortion president the nation has ever seen. WesternJournal.com, the Justice Department reportedly had a contingency plan to arrest former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin at the Minneapolis courthouse and charge him with civil rights violations if he was found not guilty of murder in the death of George Floyd, or if that case ended in a mistrial. The Minneapolis Star Tribune reported federal investigators had been building a police brutality case for months against Chauvin and the three other officers that have been charged in connection to Floyd's death. Reportedly, under the contingency plan, the Minnesota U.S. Attorney's Office would have filed a criminal complaint to charge him so he could be immediately arrested and then asked a grand jury for an indictment. The backup plan was not needed, though, because a state jury found him guilty of second-degree unintentional murder, third-degree murder, and second-degree manslaughter on April 20th. So if the jury had found him not guilty, the Biden Justice Department was ready with a backup plan to see that indeed he was arrested. A remarkable story that has broken this week. PJ Media has this one. Former Secretary of State John Kerry, who was President Joe Biden's climate envoy, briefed Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Zarif on hundreds of Israeli covert attacks on Iranian interests in Syria, according to leaked audio. The revelation echoes reports that Obama officials saved the life of terrorist and Quds Force leader, this would be Qassem Soleimani, by notifying Iran about an Israeli plot to assassinate him way back in 2015. Iran is an Islamic theocratic state, while Israel is the U.S. closest ally in the Middle East. Under Soleimani, the Quds Force engaged in various terrorist attacks against the Middle East, killing an estimated 500 American soldiers. Yet in 2015, when Israel attempted to assassinate Soleimani, the Obama administration reached out to Iran with news of Israel's plan. It's interesting, Kuwaiti newspaper Al Jarida reported that Israel was on the verge of assassinating Soleimani near Damascus in 2015, but the U.S. warned Iranian leadership of the plan, revealing that Israel was tracking Soleimani. By contrast, the Trump administration gave Israel the green light to assassinate the general. Although the general survived until the U.S. military killed him via airstrike last year after the Iran-backed militias attacked the U.S. embassy in Baghdad. This is horrendous, folks, if true. And WND.com says a group of House Republicans are asking the State Department's acting inspector general to investigate former Secretary of State John Kerry's relationship with Iran. The letter to Diana Shaw cites that the New York Times report that Iran's foreign minister disclosed in leaked audio that Kerry informed him that Israel engaged in more than 200 covert operations against Iran in Syria. The Daily Caller obtained the letter assigned by the Missouri Representative Ann Wagner, Kentucky Rep. Andy Barr, and New York Rep. Lee Zeldin. Barr told the Daily Caller that if the report is true, Kerry severely undermined the American-Israeli alliance to provide intelligence about one of the most trusted allies to the world's largest state sponsor of terrorism. John Kerry and Joe Biden have proved to be pro-Iranian before by championing the failed Iran nuclear deal, but this type of betrayal of a staunch ally is simply unconscionable, Barr said. Newsmax.com also adds in that Nikki Haley, the former U.N. ambassador to the U.N. and ex-South Carolina governor, called John Kerry disgusting, said that he should be yanked off the National Security Council for revealing to Iran information on military operations that have been conducted by Israel. But John Kerry is denying this. He is vehemently denying this. The Daily Signal reports that he had provided Iran's foreign minister with secret information. He said, "I can tell you that the story and these allegations are false. This never happened, either when I was Secretary of State or since," he tweeted out. And very interesting to see all that is with this. But, folks, we've got to get to the bottom of this. I mean, Ted Cruz said if this tape is verified, it would signal catastrophic and disqualifying recklessness by Envoy Kerry. He has denied this report. He did not directly accuse the Iranian official, though, of lying during the interview reported by Iran International. The Iranian government has not disputed the authenticity of the audio recording, though it decried that it was leaked. So it appears that Iran's upset that it was leaked, not in the information itself. And so the State Department is being sued now by the American Center for Law and Justice for hiding details of Kerry's sabotage of former President Trump. We're going to pick up with some other topics and issues after the break. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, many are claiming that birds are modern-day dinosaurs. Can this be true?
No, it's not, Chris. Evolutionists must have an evolutionary story that they can tell people, and this is the one that they've chosen to use this decade. But the story isn't even consistent with the facts. Even given the evolutionary interpretation of the dates of the fossils, it doesn't fit. For instance, the first bird in the fossil record is dated by evolutionary standards to be before the dinosaurs, not after. And birds are so different from dinosaurs, it simply is impossible to think that a marvelously designed bird could come from a dinosaur. They are very different. The birds were created on day 5 of creation week and dinosaurs on day 6, just like it says back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
We've got a news roundup day here today on Crosstalk. Thank you for tuning in to the VCY American Network, and thank your local station for carrying Crosstalk, keeping you informed on critical issues. By the way, Epoch Times is reporting in a new update, the CDC has reported that 7,157 people who were declared to be, quote, fully vaccinated against COVID, still got the virus. Most of the breakthrough cases, 64%, took place among women. 46 were among people 60 years of age or above. Nearly 500 people who contracted COVID-19 despite being fully vaccinated required hospital care, though about a third of them were hospitalized for illnesses deemed unrelated to COVID-19. 88 of the breakthrough patients, or 1%, died. 11 of the deaths were reported as not showing symptoms or being unrelated to the disease. LifeSiteNews.com, interesting story. Children's Health Defense, details leaked from an Israeli Health Ministry report have raised concerns among experts about a possible link between the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine and myocarditis, according to the Times of Israel and other news outlets. The preliminary report by a committee tasked with monitoring vaccine side effects found 62 cases of myocarditis, including two people people who received the Pfizer vaccine. 56 of the cases occurred after the second dose of the vaccine. 55 occurred in men, most between the ages of 18 and 30. The two patients who died were reportedly healthy until receiving the vaccine, had no pre-existing conditions. One was a 22-year-old woman, the other a 35-year-old man. Report noted that 5 million people in Israel have been vaccinated for COVID. Myocarditis, or inflammation of the heart muscle, can lead to cardiac arrhythmia and also can lead to death. LifeSiteNews.com also reporting that 20 of 26 COVID-positive residents in a Kentucky nursing home outbreak, guess what? They also were, quote, fully vaccinated just a month earlier. Also reported here from the vaccine reaction, a breakthrough, cases of COVID-19 emerging among fully vaccinated Americans. And based on the CDC guidelines, a fully vaccinated person should not expect to test positive for COVID if it has been at least 2 weeks since the second dose of Pfizer or Moderna vaccine or a single dose of the J&J vaccine. But vaccinereaction.org asks, why then have there been 8,500 confirmed cases of COVID-19 and fully vaccinated persons occurring more than 2 weeks after vaccination, resulting in almost 400 hospitalizations and 74 deaths? They're asking the question. LifeNews.com tells us several governors complained this week that President Joe Biden has been absent from calls with state leaders about the effects, or rather the efforts, to battle COVID-19, leaving scandal-ridden New York Governor Andrew Cuomo in charge instead. Yeah, Cuomo is accused of issuing a disastrous pandemic mandate that led to the deaths of more than 15,000 nursing home residents and then covering up the numbers. Yet Cuomo is leading weekly national conference calls with governors about state and federal efforts to address the coronavirus. Western Journal reporting an Oregon high school track and field coach has brought up serious concerns about the state mask mandate after one of his runners collapsed at the finish line. This is Summit High School coach Dave Turnbull told the Bend Bulletin, "I'm concerned with the mask rule. This is why I'm worried about it," and said at the beginning of the season, "You get a kid running the 800 with a mask on, it is actually dangerous," he said. "They don't get the oxygen that they need. This rule needs to change." I mean, it's outrageous that cross-country runners being forced to run with a mask. Maggie Williams was racing the two laps around the track and on her way to break a school record when she fell right before the finish line. "I was pushing so hard, everything went blurry. I just fell," this high school junior said. She skidded across the line in a record-breaking time, 2 minutes, 8.45 seconds. But the Oregonian writer, John Canzino, wrote this. He said, "She ran out of oxygen. Her brain shut down. Her lungs quit. She landed on her forehead. Couldn't hear. Couldn't see. Her body crashed across the finish line. I wonder if state leaders will notice." Well, Now, just yesterday, it appears maybe state leaders have noticed, because days after the runner collapsed, Oregon state officials have removed the requirement for athletes participating in outdoor non-contact sports to wear masks during competition. Oregon was one of the only states mandating masks for distance runners in high school track and cross country. This from the vaccine reaction as well. More than 50 universities across the U.S. have announced they will require students to present proof of COVID-19 vaccination in order to attend in-person classes or on-campus activities this fall. Among these institutions of higher learning are Brown University, Cleveland State University, Columbia University, Cornell, Montclair State, Princeton University, Rutgers, University of Notre Dame, University of Pennsylvania, Yale University, as well as others. ABC News tells us that Chicago is planning to roll out a Vax Pass next month that vaccinated residents can use to attend events like summer concerts, according to city health officials. Dr. Allison Arwades, Chicago Public Health Commissioner, stressed that the forthcoming pass is not a vaccine passport. Instead, it's going to be similar to city passes that give residents discounts and free admission to museums or let them skip lines to city attractions, she explained. By the way, WND.com, the European Union will reopen its borders to American tourists this summer, but visitors will need to be fully vaccinated against COVID-19. CBS News reporting Houston Methodist, the hospital system requiring all of its workers get their shots by June 7th, making it the first hospital system in the U.S. to issue a vaccination mandate. Houston Methodist, a medical center and six community hospitals, rewarded its vaccinated workers with an extra $500 back in March, but also signaled that at some point the shots would no longer be voluntary. Other hospitals will soon follow suit, with plans already in the works. CBS reports at two other medical centers in Texas, Memorial Hermann and Baylor College of Medicine. LifeSiteNews.com, West Virginia Governor Jim Justice has promised 16 to 35-year-olds a $100 savings bond to every single one that steps up and takes the vaccine in an effort to encourage widespread uptake of the jab among the young. Come get your $100 savings bond. Also, what's interesting, and it's pointed out by vaccine reaction, that overweight people, obese people, are most at risk for COVID-19. But look at all these rewards that are being given to people if they get the shot. Free donuts and popcorn, fries and hot dogs for the vaccinated. In March, Krispy Kreme announced this promotional effort to offer a free glazed donut to each customer who presents proof of the shot every day for the rest of this year. Movie theaters like the Cleveland Cinemas in Ohio offering free popcorn to customers who show their vaccination card. Super Duper Burgers in San Francisco offering free fries. Nathan's Famous at Coney Island's free hot dogs for those who provide their vaccination card. And not just here in the U.S., where the idea of bribing people to get the shot has taken hold. In China, they're offering ice cream. Buy one, get one free ice cream in Beijing, but only if you've been vaccinated. Epoch Times reporting the Supreme Court has decided to take up a major NRA-backed lawsuit challenging a New York law restricting individuals from carrying concealed handguns in public. This case marks the court's first foray into guns rights since Amy Coney Barrett came on the court, making a 6-3 conservative majority, Western Journal reports. The court has turned down review of the issues in June before Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg's death. New York is among eight states that limit who has the right to carry a weapon in public. The others are California, Delaware, Hawaii, Maryland, Massachusetts, New Jersey, and Rhode Island. Breitbart reporting Vice President Kamala Harris highlighted a violence against minority groups as a root cause of migration that she wanted to tackle in Central America. She hosted a video conference call with the president of Guatemala, and she said there are also longstanding issues that often called the root causes of immigration. We are looking at the issue of poverty and the lack thereof of economic opportunities, the issue of extreme weather conditions, global warming, and the lack of climate adaptation, as well as corruption and the lack of good governance and violence against women, indigenous people, LGBTQ people, and Afro descendants. We want to work with you to address both the acute causes as well as the root causes in a way that will bring hope to the people of Guatemala that there will be an opportunity for them if they stay at home, she said. I think we're still waiting for her to appear to the border, though she's supposed to be in Wisconsin here this next Tuesday. From the Daily Wire, Department of Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas announced that he has directed the Immigration and Customs Enforcement to cancel fining illegal aliens who fail to leave the U.S., claiming that fining people who are illegally in the U.S. runs counter to the agency's best interests. Oh, an immigration enforcement advocacy organization opposes two very bad immigration bills that are currently before Congress. This is OneNewsNow.com. The Federation for American Immigration Reform says Democrats are fueling, not fixing, the border crisis. The No Ban Act, H.R. 1333, would essentially allow people who come from countries that are known to harbor and support terrorism, they would be allowed to enter the country without restriction. Also, H.R. 1573, the Access to Counsel Act, would basically give illegal aliens access to U.S. taxpayer-funded lawyers for representation. The Center for Christian Virtue out of Ohio issued a press release 2 days ago, April 28th. Ohio Governor Mike DeWine has decided not to appeal a Southern District of Ohio decision allowing individuals to falsify their birth certificates to reflect their self-proclaimed gender identity instead of their biological sex. Aaron Baer, who is the president of Center for Christian Virtue, indicated that Governor DeWine has abandoned the science that shows that no one can change their biological sex. By dropping the lawsuit, Ohio will now allow falsified birth certificates. This is both medically hazardous and sets a terrible precedent that legal documents from the state can reject objective realities. You don't need to be a doctor to know that men and women have vastly different medical needs, regardless of how they identify. Alliance Defending Freedom issued a press release. Four Connecticut female athletes will appeal a federal district court that dismisses their legal challenge to a Connecticut interscholastic athletic conference policy, allowing biological males who identify as females to compete in girls' athletic events. These are gals who have been denied championships. They have been denied medals because of boys who identify as girls running in their races. And they are going to be appealing this to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit. By the way, Alabama became the fifth state to ban gender-confused boys from girls' sports. Republican Governor Kay Ivey signed this bill prohibiting competition between athletes of a different biological gender in public school sports. Alabama is joining Mississippi, Tennessee, Arkansas, and Idaho in banning boys and girls athletics this year. And now Florida has joined other states. Matt Staver at Liberty Council issued a press release yesterday indicating that Florida legislators passed a bill that bans males from competing in women's sports at the high school and college levels. And the measure is now before Governor Ron DeSantis for his signature. If signed, will take effect on July the 1st. The Human Rights Campaign, a Washington-based LGBTQ advocacy group, said its Business Coalition for the Equality Act has now grown to 416 members. Folks, the corporate America is putting a full court press upon senators to pass this. More than 400 companies. I mean, we're talking Telsa, Pfizer, Delta Airlines, Amazon, General Motors, PepsiCo, Apple, CVS, Facebook, Marriott, Capital One, Starbucks, Home Depot are all on the list. It's time that civil rights protections be extended to LGBT plus individuals nationwide on a clear, consistent, and comprehensive basis, said Carla Grant Pickens, who is the Chief Diversity and Inclusion Officer for IBM. This is an act that would just devastate churches across the nation, just dismantle them as far as their biblical views on marriage and gender. Back in a minute.
More now than at any other time in our nation's history, we are deluged in all forms of media. television, radio, video games, social media, smartphones, iPads, iPods, computers, Blu-ray, and a myriad of other offerings. Along with all of this exposure comes the key question: how do I safeguard myself and family from that which is inappropriate? In the book, Biblical Filters for Your Media Choices, author Joe Schlero presents 10 biblical filters a Christian must consider before engaging in the media. This 50-page booklet presents a biblical filter derived from scriptural principles. VCY America is offering one copy of the booklet for a donation of $7 or get 5 copies for a donation of $30. Call 1-800-729-9829 and ask for Biblical Filters for Your Media Choices.
As I mentioned, I have more stories and minutes here today. I would like to get through a few more of these to bring to your attention today. Continue to be in connection with your U.S. senators regarding the so-called Equality Act. There are efforts that we see over 400 corporations that are now putting the pressure on senators to pass the so-called Equality Act. I mean, this is going to impact every church. It's going to impact every business, whether you're a Christian business owner or not. The restaurants you go to eat at, the businesses, the changing rooms that you may use at a department store. I mean, every aspect of life, sporting facilities, going in to use the restrooms and finding somebody there that is of the opposite sex, having full reign over the facilities there as well, sports clubs and health clubs across the nation as well. And the number to your senators, a reminder, is 202-224-3121. There are those who are trying to get the Senate to do this without a filibuster. In other words, to dismantle the filibuster to see that this and many other pieces of liberal legislation passes. Western Journal reporting, Secretary of State Antony Blinken has issued a blanket authorization for U.S. embassies and consulates across the globe to fly the pride flag and on the same flagpole as Old Glory. This is a State Department official confirmed the authorization allows federal diplomats to fly the flag before May 17th, the International Day Against Homophobia, Transphobia, and Biphobia, as well as for the month of June, recognized to be as Pride Month in the U.S. and many other countries. He noted that displaying the flag was not a requirement and asked diplomats to make the decisions in light of local conditions. The American Medical Association, shame on them. They are urging governors to oppose state legislation that would prohibit medically necessary gender transition-related care for minor patients, calling such efforts a dangerous intrusion into the practice of medicine. In a letter to the National Governors Association, the AMA cited evidence that trans and non-binary gender identities are normal variations of human identity and expression, and that foregoing gender-affirming care can have tragic health consequences, both mental and physical. Decisions about medical care belong within the sanctity of the patient-physician relationship, the AMA wrote in its letter. Shame on them. And I'm hoping that governors across this nation will not listen to this misguided advice coming from the AMA. Pixar Animation Studios, subsidiary of Walt Disney Company. LifeSiteNews.com reporting that they've released a casting call for the first transgender character, casting a youth voiceover role for an upcoming animated project. The character Jess is a 14-year-old transgender girl. She's compassionate, funny, always has your back. Casting call, first transgender, Pixar Animation Studios. And, folks, this is where things are headed. This just came out from CBN today. A Christian politician from Finland has been formally charged with 3 counts of hate speech against homosexuals and faces 2 years in prison if convicted. She's a member of the Finnish Parliament, has been under investigation since 2019. I'm not going to get the pronunciation right. It's like Päivi Räsänen. But since 2019, has had social media posts questioning the Evangelical Lutheran Church's official affiliation with the Helsinki LGBT Pride event. In her post, she showed a photo of the Bible passage from Romans chapter 1, 24 through 27, which condemns homosexuality as a sin. Folks, she is being charged for hate speech, for quoting the Bible. She's also charged for a pamphlet that she wrote in 2004 entitled Male and Female, He Created Them. Homosexual relationships challenged the Christian concept of humanity, in which she said that God designed marriage for one man and one woman, and she's accused of hate. Accused of hate speech for comments she made about homosexuality on a Christian TV program in Finland. She said she does not apologize for her writings, and guess what else? She says she's not apologizing for the writings of the Apostle Paul. Lubbock, Texas, you listening? Those of you listening today in Lubbock, voters in Lubbock tomorrow, Saturday, May 1st, if they go to the polls, will be voting on outlawing abortion, becoming the next sanctuary city for the unborn. If you remember, your city government leaders tried to stop this. They tried to stop it, but it was pushed forth here through citizens actively involved. The West Texas for Life's Jim Baxa said they're murdering babies here in our city. We need to stop that. If passed, the ordinance would ban abortions within Lubbock city limits and allow family members of a person who has an abortion to sue the abortion provider and anyone acting as an accessory, including driving a woman to the clinic. Yeah, it's a resolution up for a vote tomorrow in Lubbock, Texas. Now, a United Methodist Church in Lubbock, LifeNews.com reports, is speaking out against this pro-life measure that would ban abortions, claiming that protecting unborn babies goes against their beliefs about, quote, loving one another. Oh, friends, can't you know that that you are indeed showing love one for another by showing love for the most vulnerable amongst us, the baby in the womb, the innocent baby in the womb? Shiloh Morris, associate pastor at St. John's, told the local news that banning abortion is dangerous and will make life harder for all women. Lubbock, Texas, you have an election on this issue tomorrow. Let's go next to LifeNews.com. Washington state lawmakers just expanded abortion again. April 16th, Governor Inslee signed a law requiring all colleges and universities in the state to cover voluntary abortions in their student health plan. Major League Baseball, I tell you, they're really getting into politics here. Now the commissioner, Rob Manfred, elected to pull the All-Star game out of Georgia to protest the state's new voting reform law. Ironically, he moved the game to Colorado, a state with a 9% black population that has strict voting laws there. Well, now the league is distributing surveys to fans, reports WND.com, and one of the questions asked to identify their political affiliation. Why does Major League Baseball need to know this? Why does Major League need to know this? They said they're trying to justify the question in a statement saying that the research has shown that a person's self-identified political affiliation often impacts their views about the pandemic and therefore respondents' views regarding returning to the ballpark. Yeah, that's the rationale for it. But I tell you, whether it be the NBA or MLB, no wonder why ratings are going down. No wonder why people are putting them aside because of the political correctness that's been a part of these sports. Just play the game. Newsmax.com. California has verified more than enough signatures needed for a recall of Governor Newsom and putting the state closer to an election later this year. Terrible news out of New York. A driver dragged a New York Police Department officer with his car, was out with no bail at a time despite attempted murder charge. New York City man who was, this is from FoxNews.com, a New York City man who was released without bail despite being charged with attempted murder, dragged a police officer with a car before going on hours-long crime spree. NYPD said this individual was slurring his words, admitted to the officers to having smoked marijuana. But I guess, you know, we're told marijuana has no ill effects. Western Journal saying a century-old monument vandalized, police officers were attacked also in New York City at a Black Lives Matter demonstration that devolved into chaos. Then let's go over to Delaware, where a man brutally beats a Delaware police officer to death. Delmar Police Officer Corporal Keith Heacock, responded to a call for help after his alleged would-be killer apparently assaulted an elderly couple. When he arrived on the scene, brutally beaten, repeatedly kicked in the head while on the ground unconscious, where's the national media? Where is their 24/7 coverage of this? FoxNews.com reporting nearly 190 cops have left the Louisville Metro Police Department in 2020. 43 have stepped away so far in 2021, either choosing to retire or to resign altogether. Recruitment is going through dire straits right now. Matter of fact, that's the word used by the city, River City Fraternal Order of Police Press Secretary Dave Mulchner. He said, "I would say that we're in dire straits as far as, you know, the recruitment and the number of officers." The Daily Wire reporting more than 200 Seattle police officers are quit, citing the anti-police climate. In NYPD, officers leaving in droves, a 75% increase in quitting or retirement in 2020. Interesting matters that are going on. Maricopa County Superior Court Judge Daniel Martin dismissed a temporary restraining order aimed at pausing the Arizona Senate's recount of 2.1 million 2020 election ballots, reports ArizonaFamily.com. The Arizona Democratic Party, Maricopa County Supervisor Steve Caligo, tried to halt the audit by filing an emergency restraining order. The temporary pause fell through after the Democratic Party said it would not post the $1 million bond. Interesting matters going on there. And Arizona is one of six states that Joe Biden won by a slim margin when lawmakers raised objections to the evidence of vote fraud. State officials confirmed the results won't change the election outcome since those results have been certified, but Democrats have dispatched dozens of lawyers to the state to try to suppress the recount effort. The question is why? The question is why? Windham, New Hampshire official receives death threats over upcoming ballot and voting machine audit. Don't want that to happen in there either. Florida just passed a new elections bill adding restrictions to vote by mail and ballot drop boxes. That bill gone to Governor DeSantis. He's expected to sign that as well. Let's open some phone lines here today on Crosstalk. I've got more stories to take us for another half hour, but I'd like to hear from you as well today. Our number 800-733-9829. If you would like to comment on these or other current event news stories, 800-733-9829. By the way, the Census Bureau concluded their audit, and Texas gaining two congressional seats, Colorado, Florida, Montana, North Carolina, Oregon, each gain a seat. The shift means that California, Illinois, Michigan, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, all losing one seat. And listen to this from Jihad Watch. The U.S. Council of Muslim Organizations is calling on President Biden to appoint a special envoy to monitor and combat Islamophobia. To monitor and combat Islamophobia, petitioning the president to appoint a special envoy. A U.S. CMO also aims to elect Islamicists in Washington with the ultimate goal, the ultimate objective of institutionalizing policies favorable to Islamists. That is Sharia law. Sharia, Islamic law. Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Let's begin with our friend Courtney in Miami. Hi, Courtney. You're on the air.
God bless all y'all. And I pray to God you stay on the air. You know what? One thing that God hates, he hates sin. But the thing that got Satan kicked out of heaven was pride. And we got the nerve enough to put pride flags up in our schools and on our buildings and in our government, this country, and aborting babies, just killing babies like they're nothing when God put them in the womb. Saints, pray for the young people that they get saved. Please pray for them. I'm not going to say nothing because all I want to do is lift up the name of Jesus when I call. I'm feeling bad, so will y'all please pray for me because I've been sick the last week or so, really. So God bless you now.
Sorry to hear that, Courtney. We do ask our listeners to indeed be praying for you. Thank you for calling in, brother. Appreciate it. That was Courtney from Miami. Be praying for him. Wow, clock says we're up to a break, so let's take our break. We'll come back to more of your phone calls. Our number here to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
for the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Recently, Mike Lindell declared on one of his broadcasts, what we're seeing in America now is communism. Many people may think that's over the top, but it's not. Recently, I acquired, in writing, a report written by progressives out of the United States House of Representatives, by 13 of them. And you know what they want? They want us to stop using the phrase, in God we trust. They also told the Biden administration they should not be using the phrase, Judeo-Christian. They also went on to say they want the Biden administration and his agencies to decide who is a church and who is not, who can be a 501c3 church and who cannot. They also wanted to eliminate all non-religious exemptions for vaccines, and they also want the Department of Homeland Security and Justice to use funds for de-radicalization of conservatives.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Folks, we see all these things that are happening in our country, but we need to be aware of one more issue. China. China. Did you know that China commissioned 3 warships in a single day? The Daily Wire reporting, in an unprecedented move, China commissioned 3 advanced warships in a single day earlier this month. The People's Liberation Army, Navy, announced the commissioning of a new nuclear-powered ballistic missile submarine, a guided missile cruiser, and an amphibious helicopter carrier at a ceremony on the 72nd anniversary of the Chinese Navy. The helicopter carrier is the lead ship in the new class of assault ships. We better pay attention, folks, as to what's going on. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Hey, let's go across to the other end of the world, to New Zealand. Joshua's calling. Hi, Joshua, you're on the air.
Hello, Jim. It's good to talk to you this morning from New Zealand. I've actually have been a long-time Monopoly player and Clue player, and have actually bothered by a couple of editions. I've actually seen one of each. I've actually seen the Monopoly Cheaters edition, which allows one to get ahead by bending the rules, and they can cheat to actually get out of jail or get out of or earn more money and things like that. I saw one yesterday, a Clue Liars edition, where they're allowed to, where they actually have truth cards, liars cards, and they can learn to lie so convincingly. It talks about sharpening their deception skills.
My.
And, of course, there are penalties if they get caught lying, but still, they learn. Still, the possibility of advancing by lying is, of course, extremely distressing to me, and it's an insult to the traditional versions of these games. So it's important to know about this, and it shows a decline in our culture.
You know, it really does. I mean, when we have to have a game that teaches people how to deceive and how to lie, I mean, it is such that from early on, it's building these negative character faults in them, yeah. And it's certainly not a good thing. Thank you, Joshua.
Thank you. Welcome.
Appreciate your call. Let's go to East Troy, Wisconsin. That was from New Zealand. William, you're on the air.
Wow, what a difference from one place to another. Brother Jim, there in the Bible, doesn't it say that in the end times that they would be calling good evil and evil good? So we need to be prayerful about the fact that we've been shown so much grace. But, you know, this human rights campaign group, how come they're only in favor of one segment of humanity? How come they're not in favor of all segments of humanity? You know, and a great question to ask homosexuals is, how did you get here? Doesn't it take a man and a woman, a male and female? And we've asked that question to even transgender people. What's the name your mom gave you? And I know you've mentioned Walt Harris Ministry, sexchangeregret.com. That's been a real eye-opener for many people in my family that I've shared that with. But on a quick note, 30 years ago, I gave my life to Christ. VCY America has been a real blessing. I know you guys are celebrating 60 years. I thank God for your organization. And if all of us Christians can get out there and call our police chiefs and sheriff departments and thank them for their service and keeping us safe, I think that can make a huge impact as well. So thank you for your ministry, and have a blessed weekend.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you, William. Let's go to Bill in Blue River, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yes, Brother Jim. I was wondering if you had any information in regards to our wonderful Senator Ron Kind,
Congressman,
who has some issues with renting property to a massage parlor in La Crosse.
Well, that's the report that's come out through the news, and it's Congressman Ron Kind. But, yeah, I believe they're delving into that and to see, I mean, it is pretty a pretty shady situation that's going on. There are very immoral activities that were going on in properties that evidently he was leasing to these entities.
Well, that's great. I hope they look into it more than he looks into our behalf. Hmm. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Andreas in Espanola, New Mexico, you're on the air.
Yes. Hello, Jim. It's been a while since I called in. I just wanted to comment on the coronavirus.
Yes.
Let me tell you guys, it's a real thing. I got hit with it. I was about close to 2 months in ICU, and I lost my little brother, and I lost my mother to the virus. Hmm. So, hey, guys, don't kid yourself. It's a real, real nasty killer virus. And, you know, don't take it lightly, guys, because I'm telling you the truth, the gospel truth. Thank you, Jim. I hope everybody's doing fine.
Thank you for your thoughts. Monica in Mobile, Alabama, you're on the air.
Yes, I just want to comment on Biden's speech the other night.
Yeah.
He contradicted himself. He's thanking God for all this stuff. And then he talks about a transgender and equality and all that stuff. He's a hypocrite and a puppet of the Clintons and the Obamas. And I think President Trump was right. They went to Sleepy Joe's basement and said, hey, you still want to be president? We can make you president. And as far as people calling him a first black president, well, his mother was white. Are they saying that his dad birthed him? I don't think so. I'm sorry, but I'm just so upset about these Bidens and Clintons, Obamas trying to make this the Sodom and Gomorrah capital of the world. And people just need to pray all the time. And has Biden sold his soul to the devil just to be president? That's what I'm wondering, Jim.
Thank you, Monica, for your call. I'm out of time here today on the broadcast. Wish I had time for more because I know more of you would like to get in and speak here today. I would like to, you know, sometimes we have that attitude, what can I do? And I want to tell you a story here of a woman who is making a difference. She is 78 years old. Western Journal had the story. 78 years old. Many women are enjoying their time as grandmas, getting to spend quality time with their grandbabies without shouldering the burden of the work. And a select few, including Linda Owens, are now functioning as primary caregivers for babies that are not related to them, babies they might never see. These are foster babies. Over the course of 34 years, Owen has cared for 81 babies. 81 little ones, single and retired from her job as a department manager at a grocery store. She has turned her attention to the littlest lives who desperately need her help, an act she sees as her divine calling. This is what God's handed me as a gift to do, Owen said. The oldest child that she fostered is now 37. Some of them still keep in touch, emailing and visiting as they can. But Owens is not done yet. She's 78. She recently took her 81st foster baby and hasn't indicated that she's planning on retiring anytime soon from this all-important job. Alameda County in California has 500 resource parents, but Owens is unsurprisingly one of the longest serving them all, right in Alameda County, California. Her experience, her love, the care that she provides to the babies is immeasurable, said the placement division director. She's in a category almost by herself. Oh, friends, she said, this is what God's handed me a gift to do. Would you take time and pray? Say, God, what would you have me do? Yeah, we've had a lot of tough news here today to listen to. God, what would you have me do? And one thing you can do is to be light, share the gospel, be salt. Thanks so much for listening to Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.